USA News Update. Members of the United Auto Workers Union now picketing the big three automakers. Jim Farley, the president and CEO of Ford Motor Company, says a 40% pay increase that they're looking for would bankrupt the auto companies. Hurricane Lee expected to lash parts of coastal New England and Atlantic Canada today, with heavy rain, strong winds that could lead to flooding in some areas, even knock out power. U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith opposing a request from Donald Trump to remove the judge overseeing his federal election case. Russia expelling two American diplomats, accusing them of working with a Russian citizen charged with collaborating with a foreign state. Captured killer Danilo Cavalcanti now in a maximum security Pennsylvania state prison. Corey Myers, USA News.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
This Dr. Bill weather forecast is sponsored by L&S Air Conditioning, a 43-year-old air conditioning company, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 865-5174. And remember, God loves you.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few showers and thunderstorms. Highs this afternoon will be around 90 degrees. Tonight, isolated evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a few showers and thunderstorms and highs around 90 degrees. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Outdo all the other tailgaters when you shop at Greer's Markets for all your tailgating supplies. Whether you're watching the game at home or tailgating, Greer's can save you time and money. Check out their weekly ads online and then shop on the Greer's app or online at greers.com/shop for the same day delivery or free pickup at most locations. From grilling to making the best toggies and the beverages, snacks, and supplies to go along with a winning tailgate.
Greer's got it. We guarantee it.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Alabama. This message presented by the AHSAA and the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association.
Hey, this is Tony Truitt with Truitt Insurance and Bonding. When you need insurance help, use Truitt Insurance and Bonding.
Hey, and this is Brock Murphy. Make sure you listen to us on Truitt News Radio every Sunday at 8 a.m. right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Jeff Ford Radio Show. I'm Scott Buttram sitting in for Jeff here at FM Talk 106.5. Joining me now is going to be Paul DeMarco. He is the political writer for us here at the Trustful Tribune, award-winning political writer. He is also a former state legislator. He is also the former chairman of the Jefferson County Democratic Party. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Scott. Good morning. Hope the listeners are well today.
I hear you great. We are doing well. They have suffered with me throughout the show. I don't think.
Can you? I hear you there. Okay, you were breaking up, but I can hear.
And that is, and I don't know if the rest of the state has followed this, but Dr. Fauci's replacement has been chosen. We hadn't talked a lot about national politics, but this will kind of tie it all in. Dr. Fauci's replacement has been chosen, and his replacement is Dr. Gene Marazzo from right here in the Birmingham area at UAB. We watched Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin 3 days ago bestow all kind of honors on her. We saw quotes from Councilman Darrell O'Quinn about how Dr. Marazzo saved Birmingham during the pandemic. Her guidance was invaluable in saving lives and protecting people. The fact of the matter is, there is not a city in the state of Alabama that handled the pandemic worse than the city of Birmingham. And now we're celebrating the fact that she's going to be the new Fauci. Paul, where did we lose all common sense and reason in this society?
Well, Scott, here's what I recall, and I'm going to put UAB in the middle of this, and she was there.
Yeah, she was there.
Don't go. How many times? Hey, close your small businesses. Don't go to church. Stay 6 feet away from each other. Don't get anywhere near. And then I remember specifically, because I think they did it in Homewood, they had one of the protests after the George Floyd incident. And everybody was huddled together, touching each other, not 6 feet apart. They did the same thing at UAB. And I said, the hypocrisy here is just mind-boggling. You know, don't go to church, but if we're not going to criticize anybody for rioting or having these protests. So UAB lost credibility in all this because they were some of the same folks that were coming to our schools and saying, shut down our schools and shut down our small businesses right. And don't go to church. That's the what I remember about what I was hearing from you, from some of the folks at UAB. I don't want to generalize, but some of the folks when it came to the pandemic.
Right. Don't gather for grandma's 90th birthday, but if you want to protest in the streets over George Floyd, it went further than that, Paul. When officials, health officials, government officials were looking the other way on these protests, they were actually saying the protest will cause no spread of the virus. But going to your great grandmother's birthday present could kill everybody.
Why is that hypocrisy? We're going to close schools, but right now they're sending illegal aliens to our schools who we don't know what their vaccination status is. But you better make sure your child has a shot. But we have no idea if any of these individuals have any shots. The hypocrisy that has come from Washington D.C. and some of the elite is media. I say elite media. Mainstream media coming out of New York and Washington Street. There's it's not mind boggling. I guess it's not shocking the double standard, how they treat Americans and how they treat other folks.
Let's shift gears a second. I want to talk about another national topic of conversation, a topic that you and I have discussed, and I know you have some thoughts on, and that is Senator Tommy Tuberville's hold on military promotions, which, oh, by the way, Senator Schumer broke yesterday and did put one promotion up for a single vote. He's refused to do it on all the other holds that Senator Tuberville has put in place, which Schumer can fix at any time. What are your thoughts on this? Do you support Tuberville's decision?
Absolutely. There is one, that he is standing up to this administration and this the Secretary of Defense Austin and Chief of Staff Milley, all of them that are attacking him on this. Again, I don't want to hear anything from them until someone at the Pentagon is held accountable for those soldiers and sailors that were killed in Afghanistan. I don't want to hear it from them. They have no credibility. No one was held accountable for those deaths in Afghanistan and the complete disastrous withdrawal. In addition, they're talking about, we've got to keep the national security. They're the ones that terminated 8,000 soldiers because they didn't get vaccinated. I don't want to hear about morale. You know, I think they could do this one by one. This could be done by now. By the time this is, how long has this been going on now? 4 or 5 months? This could have been done. They could have gotten everybody done, but they don't want to work the 8 hours and go through all the motions. No one has any sympathy for the U.S. Senate when they say, well, we can't get it done because it's going to take a lot of work. No sympathy whatsoever.
It's pretty clear that Senator Chuck Schumer is allowing these holds to stay in place because the Democrats think this is going to be a political point for them going into the 2024 election. Do you think that's going to play all that well across the Democrat? I mean, how supportive are Democrat voters of the military to begin with?
Look, you know, everyone's it for what it's worth. Look, Scott, you were in Jefferson County about 10 years ago when there was support for moving forward with this occupational tax, and all of a sudden there were these long lines at the courthouse to get your car tagged. There was no coincidence between if y'all don't pass the occupational tax, taxpayers are going to have to suffer. It was political in nature. This is what this is about. This is trying to punish the military to get to Tommy Tuberville, and it's not worked. Actually, it's made him more popular because they say he's willing to stand up, and that's exactly what happened here, that he's standing up to the Biden administration with this illegal abortion policy.
Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the things we're seeing play out. This is one of the things we just discussed briefly with Representative Danny Garrett here in Trustful, and all the talk of the books in the libraries. The Democrats want to frame that up as censorship, when in reality, what we're really talking about here is asking libraries to put books in age-appropriate areas of the library, not to censor anything, but to make sure they're available to the right people at the right, at the appropriate age. We see Democratic mayors. We see it all the time in Birmingham with Mayor Wood railing away against conservative issues, against Republican issues, while his city is enjoying the highest homicide rate in decades. Where does all this hypocrisy come from, and why is it tolerated by anybody?
You know, this word censor is just so ludicrous. It's just a talking point that they use. If a parent, look, I've seen it. In Homewood, a book that was encouraging sexting between children. Why would that be in a kids section in the library, encouraging that? And it finally got moved, but I'm like, why is it even in the library? I mean, they have so disrespect for parents, and they use this whole book-burning censoring as a cover, which is a complete red herring. And I'm glad Alabama and Foley and Ozark and Prattville and other places in the state are saying no. It's what you saw up in Virginia where parents said, no, we want to take back our school boards. And thank goodness parents are standing to say enough is enough, whether it's at libraries or schools.
You know, I've seen some of these books in question, Paul, and I don't know if the average Alabamian has taken the time to see them. Some are available online. You can actually flip through the pages and see exactly what is there that is raising concerns. And it is simply graphic pornography. Are you like me? Are you a little bit in disbelief that we now live in a society where we're even having to have a conversation about whether or not that should be available to an 11, 12-year-old child?
Well, remember, though, I mean, before we got to the books, I mean, you were talking about having transgender reading or whatever, queens to children.
The drag queen reading hour, yeah.
Drag queen reading hours. I mean, are we really having that conversation? But, yeah, I mean, that it's just, how did we get here? Great question. But it's this whole push, And if you don't have parents say no and put their foot down, no, they will continue. It's like dealing with children. That's where we are. If you say, no, we're going to protect our children, because if you look in states like California where they're passing laws, oh, you parents don't get to know whether somebody's using pronouns or this conversation is going on. You don't get to know. That's how much disrespect that some on the left have for parents in protecting their kids. And it's right here in Alabama as well. Don't think it's not happening in Alabama.
It is. We've watched it. We're watching it play out in Prattville. And that's kind of where I'm going with this. I mean, even 5 years ago, I think there would have been a unified front that was bipartisan that says, no, parents are going to be the ultimate decision maker for their kids, not the government. But we've shifted in a very short period of time. How much of that is directly related to who's sitting in the White House right now?
Well, it is, but we do need to have enough folks. And I know there was talk this week with Alabama terminating itself from the American Library Association. I hope we do, just like the State School Board Association. Alabama School Board withdrew from the National School Board Association. Some of these groups have lost complete touch with the average American, and the only way to affect that is take your dollars away, stop paying fees, saying that's not the way we operate. But we also need our state leaders, our legislative leaders, when it comes to what's going on at our universities, to step up. You know, we had this debate about CRT and the university pushed back and it's successful. They've got to take this back up this upcoming session and address these issues going on at our public institutions. Taxpayers don't want to pay.
We may have just lost Paul DeMarco.
Nope,
I'm not sure.
I'm here.
You're there. Okay. I don't know if we had a good connection with your phone there. And it could be on my end too, because I think our connection has been in and out a little bit this morning. Paul, one of the things I want to ask you, and I want to kind of zero in on this. Some of these issues we're talking about, societal issues, the library situation, local crime, mask mandates. We know that the legislature, Alabama legislature, did not pass everything they could have passed in the last session. And I'm referring to dealing with the fact that we have a state health care officer that does not answer to the voters in any way, shape, or form. He's completely separated from that. I'm talking about the fact that we did not put in place anything that absolutely forbids mask mandates in the future. We did not pass a bill. Well, it passed the House, but it got buried on the Senate side in committee regarding ballot harvesting. As we go in to the next statewide election, how many Republicans, incumbent Republicans, may find themselves challenged by Republicans running against them for their seat? And we're talking primary politics. Are we going to see these things pop up at election time? Are we going to have candidates that come in and say, I don't think my conservative legislator is conservative enough, or I don't think he is doing enough on conservative issues despite the fact that he or she is a Republican? Do you think that's going to be an issue in the next statewide election?
If voters are paying attention, and you mentioned one of those important issues, this whole ballot harvesting, can't we get that passed in Alabama? That should be bill number one when we come back, when legislators, lawmakers come back in March. Look, this is going to be a big election with the presidential, but with other races. And look, with this redistricting and the way this redistricting may end up, it is more important than ever, because we're going to have thousands and thousands of dollars come in out of state. You saw that with the Doug Jones race a couple of years ago. It happening around the country. And if you don't think ballot harvesting is in the works for Alabama, you're kidding yourself. So that's why that bill passed. And it has to pass 6 months before the election because of a constitutional amendment. So that is why the bill needs to come up the first week and get passed. And people need to pay attention to it, because if we can't even get Republican lawmakers to pass the bill to prohibit ballot harvesting that the other side is excellent at, then we got a real problem. So why aren't you getting Montgomery? You're doing a lot of stuff. Secondly, some of the crime bills were weakening the criminal justice system. And I've seen several legislators have voted for this stuff, and I don't get none of them vote on weakening the criminal justice system. So we'll see what voters do, Scott.
Paul, we're headed to a break. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. I'm on the line with Paul DeMarco. Paul, can you hang around for a little short segment on the other side of the break? Great. Thank you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
And now I
welcome back to the Jeff Poor Radio Show. A little Crystal Gale for your entertainment there. That is just perfect. On the line with me is Paul DeMarco. Paul is a former state legislator. He is a former leader in the Jefferson County Republican Party. I asked Paul to stay around. And Paul, we've only got a few minutes here before we go to the top of the hour. But there was something very specific that I wanted to bring up that we didn't make it to in the last segment. And that is yesterday, state GOP chairman John Wall was speaking to a group. I'm not sure which group it was. It was on the tip of my tongue, but I forgot. But speaking to a group yesterday, they asked about the third Republican debate, which has been rumored to be hosted in Alabama, either in Tuscaloosa or in Huntsville. And Chairman Wall's response was no comment, and take my no comment as a positive sign. And we understand that if he's discussing things with the national party, he can't put them out there. The national party needs to put it out there. Within a few hours of that, Trump's former press secretary, Sean Spicer, tweets out breaking news that the third Republican debate will be in Miami. What do you know about it? What have you heard about it? And what can you tell our audience about it?
Well, I've heard the same thing you have, which it was the worst-kept secret that it was going to be in Alabama and first, and then we heard both Chris Christie and Nikki Haley say it was going to be in Alabama. And as of yesterday, I mean, we were even working in the Jefferson County Republican Party to schedule an event around this debate because that was our understanding. And so to get the news last night, and I think it was reported by CNN, so you take it. You take that for what it's worth. So yeah, I think we're all trying to get
Sean Spicer
some
was the official first person
is
saw,
this
but
it, truly not going to happen in Alabama, this third debate?
What do you think? Do you think it's going to? I mean, what is your gut? I know you don't have anything concrete, but what does your gut tell you?
Well, if you'd asked me 24 hours ago, I was going to say it was 100% going to happen in Alabama. So. Okay. And then again, this is getting reported the other way. So I think we're all trying to figure out why, what, when, and where, because we were all under the understanding. I mean, when we said we were scheduling something around, and we talked to a candidate who thought it was in Alabama. They understood it was to be in Alabama. So right. I think there's really got to get the story. What is going on here? Is it really been moved from Birmingham, I mean, from Tuscaloosa to Miami? Because 24 hours ago, it was all but here.
Well, and let's point out that now that Miami is the newly rumored location, that's where Trump is. Could that play a part in all this?
Well, you know, you got to wonder, is this some sort of, hey, we want Donald Trump to participate in having it down in his neck of the woods, we'll get him there. So I don't know. Obviously, there's going to be a big disappointment, and I hope if this third one doesn't happen in Alabama, maybe the fourth debate, we can get one here in Alabama before the primary here.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you being here. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. I'm Scott Buttram. We'll be signing off after this, and I will be back with you Monday. Looking forward to it. Our first guest, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for joining us. Stay with FM Talk 106.5. This is